Glad to have all of you with us today. We appreciate you being here. Last Sunday was a special day for us here at Viking Drive because we were able to appoint Brother Sam Walters to the function of deacon, which he served before when he lived here and then had subsequently moved off. And not only that, but we were also able to appoint Brother Clifton LaFour to the function of elder. He also served before he moved off. And we're grateful to have both of these men again serving in those capacities and look forward to their work together. I'd like to kind of follow up on what we did last Sunday. If you'll open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter chapter 5. There's a paragraph at the beginning of the chapter that I want you to think with me about this morning. Just four verses that pertain particularly to the elders or the shepherds among us. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, the apostle said, "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. And not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." From this paragraph, I'll present to you this morning 10 things that elders need to remember. Well, that's the title of the sermon. I thought about this morning, I could have turned that title around, 10 things that the congregation needs to remember about the elders, because it works both ways. So this is a lesson for all of us. 10 things. Number one, elders need to remember that they're shepherds. Shepherd the flock of God among you, says the apostle. And the work of shepherding is a multifaceted work. There are a number of components of it we could talk about. I'm going to mention just one under this heading, and that is the importance of feeding the flock. Sheep need food. And we need good food. You know, an old goat will eat just about anything. In fact, goats eat everything. But we don't want a flock of goats. We remember Jesus' illustration that come the judgment, He's going to separate the sheep from the goats, and the goats are rejected. So we don't want a flock of goats here. We need a flock of sheep. And in order to have a flock of sheep, we need to be regularly fed good food. And that good food is the Word of God. In Acts chapter 20, when Paul was talking to the elders from the church at Ephesus, he said to them in verse 32, "Now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." God and the Word of His grace. That needs to be the steady diet of the sheep in this place. And it is the elder's responsibility, the shepherd's responsibility, to see to it that that is the case. Unfortunately, sometimes elders get so concerned about growth and numbers that they urge the preacher to not talk about some kinds of things that some folks might find offensive or that might even turn some people away. The Apostle Paul would have none of that. He said to those elders from Ephesus in verse 27 of Acts 20, Verse 26, he said, I testify to you that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. He'd said earlier in verse 20, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable, teaching you publicly and from house to house. If we're going to be whole, well, healthy sheep, we need it all. We need the encouragement of the Word. We need the rebuke of the Word. We need the corrections. We need it all. Shepherd the flock of God. Make sure that we have a steady diet of the Word of God. Number two, the apostle said in our text, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Number two, your overseers. Shepherds are watchers. Sheep need a lot of watching. Sheep tend to stray. Brother Turner talked to us here just a couple of weeks ago about the danger of drifting. And that is a very real danger. And drifting and straying are about two ways of saying the same thing. Sometimes sheep just get off course. And we need somebody watching for us to make sure we're directed in the right way. And when we get off course, we need people that are watchful and observant and see that and can come and get us back on course again. The sheep need to be retrieved at times. And once in a while, a sheep doesn't necessarily want to be retrieved. So I want to say to Gary and Brian and Clifton and anybody else that's ever a shepherd of this congregation, if there is ever a time when I need to be retrieved and you call and say, Frank, we need to talk to you, and I say, I don't want to talk to you, I want you to have enough love for my soul to come over to my house anyway, stick your foot in the door, and say, not talking is not an option. We love your soul too much, and there's something you need to hear. And you say to me what I need to hear, and you make every effort to get me back in line again. That's what I will need. That's the work of shepherding the flock. Sometimes the sheep needs some correction. Elders need to have enough wisdom to know the manner in which that is done and to suit the conversation and the action taken to the circumstance and to the individual. It's all a part of working. And that's why alertness and watchfulness is so important to the work of shepherding the people of God. Number three, elders need to remember that they're over sheep. Preacher, why are you saying that? Obviously, the shepherds are over the sheep. I'll tell you why I remind you of that. Every once in a while, there's somebody that acts as though the elders are over something besides sheep. Some of our brethren who like to have churches form and fund and work through various kinds of organizations, businesses, get a little confused on this point. Maybe it's a camp. Maybe it's a college. Maybe it's a retirement home or some other sort of benevolent kind of a organization. Maybe it's a preaching school. When you look through your New Testament, you won't find churches contributed to any kind of a group like that or forming any kind of a group like that. But sometimes what people say in defense of that, but the folks that are running that are all elders. And so as long as elders are running those things, then it's the church doing it, and it's okay. Really? I worked with a congregation one time where two of the elders went in business together making motorcycle trailers. Did the fact that the two men who ran that business were both elders, did that make the motorcycle trailer business under elders? Who would think so? Folks, it seems ridiculously simple to say, but the only thing the Lord ever put shepherds over is sheep. You're over the sheep. They're the ones that need your attention. And you're over a specific group of sheep as well. Our text says, shepherd the flock of God among you. You're not over some other flock. You're over this flock. The flock among you. Once again, sometimes we start developing practices that run contrary to our principles of Scripture. There is a practice, for example, that is called sometimes the mission church. And the idea of that is when a large established group like this one would send a preacher out somewhere to preach the gospel and he would establish some other congregation, that newly established group is under the watch of these shepherds until such time as it can mature enough to have its own shepherds. So by that logic, in our New Testaments, Bethel and Bethany and Bethlehem and whatever other towns there were in Judea would have been under the shepherding of the Jerusalem elders until they grew enough. Or maybe a better example, Antioch, who sent Paul out to preach on all those tours. He traveled all over the province of Asia and even beyond into Macedonia and Achaia. Churches miles and miles from Antioch. There's no hint at all in Scripture that somehow those other churches were under the elders at Antioch during all that time. No hint of that at all. Shepherd the flock of God among you. You're a shepherd, you're also part of the flock. Now there's something else that comes to my mind about that too. You need to be content with the flock you have. Every once in a while, elders get to try and steal them some sheep from somebody else's flock. This happens especially in larger cities where there are multiple congregations. And you start encouraging the Smiths or the Jones or whoever it is, well, why don't y'all come on over here with us? You shepherd your flock. Don't be stealing the sheep. And all of that presupposes that there is an identifiable group of people that is the flock, that you know who the flock is. There are some sheep that kind of prefer to be sheep at large. They don't seem to want to be a part of a congregation. No, we need identifiable flock with people watching over. Shepherd the flock of God among you, our text says. Number five. You notice how Peter described the flock in our text? He said, shepherd the flock of God among you. It's God's flock. You're over it, in a sense. But it's always God's flock. That means that you need to shepherd it as God intends you to do. In fact, Peter specifies that in verse 2. According to the will of God. elders don't have any business setting aside some of the instructions that God has given, because that's not their preference. Nor do they have any business adding to the instructions or the requirements that God has given, because in their wisdom that would make things better. Nor is it appropriate for elders to restructure things, reformat things, redesign things to suit their vision of the church. I read that and hear that every once in a while. Well, this is our vision. Well, what about God's vision? What about what God wanted for this flock? That is the overriding concern. It's God's flock. Doesn't belong to the shepherds. Which brings me to number 6. Elders need to remember that they're not lords. Peter says, not lording it over those allotted to your charge. Verse 3. Dictatorship is not leadership. The elders are not in the position that they are in order to honor them. It's honorable work that they do, to be sure. But they're not doing the work to honor them. This is much like the work of preaching. Paul described his work of preaching to the Corinthians, for example, in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, we preach Christ as Lord, and ourselves as bondservants for your sake. Someone wisely said that what we need in elderships is servants who lead and leaders who serve. Shepherd the flock of God among you, not lording it over those allotted to your charge. But, says the apostle, being examples to the flock. It's simply a fact that sheep will rarely ever rise above the level of their shepherds. That is why so much is demanded of the shepherds. That's why you have all of those characteristics in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1 that a man in this capacity has to have. When you study those passages, I hope you notice as you read those qualities that those are things that in other verses of Scripture, every single one of us needs to have. All those character qualities, those are things we all are supposed to have. It's just that in the one who is to be the example, the one who is to be the leader, we need to be able to see all of those things in action. In John chapter 10, when Jesus was preaching His sermon about shepherds and sheep and Him being the good shepherd, He said in verse 3 of, with reference to the doorkeeper of the sheepfold, the pen where the sheep are kept, He said, to him, the shepherd, the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. When He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. You can get behind cattle and drive them, but you need to go ahead of sheep and lead them. Picture kind of suggests that. We need shepherds who will be examples of what Christians ought to be. Examples in character, examples in attitude, examples in work habits, examples in growth, the examples to the flock. Number 8. In our text, Peter emphasizes that this is volunteer work you're doing. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, and he said that if anyone aspires to the office of an overseer, it is a fine work that he desires to do. And it really is a great thing when a man has such love for God and love for the people of God and things of God that he desires to be a leader among the people of God. It's volunteer work. That does not preclude the possibility that the elder gets paid for what he does. In fact, the New Testament is quite clear on that. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The apostle said, "The elders who rule well are considered to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, 'You shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing,' and the laborer is worthy of his wages." That 18th verse in that reference to wages makes it clear that the double honor that the apostle is talking about in the preceding verse includes, at least as part of it, payment for services. Payment for the work that's done. But while that would be appropriate to do, Peter emphasizes that you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the Lord. You're doing it because you love the Lord and you love the sheep and you love the work. Not for sordid gain, he said, but with eagerness. Which brings me to number 9. Peter emphasizes also in this paragraph that the elders need to be steadfast and faithful even when things get tough. You notice in verse 1 as he begins the paragraph, he describes himself as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Elder Peter knew something about suffering. He had seen it firsthand in Jesus. In fact, he had been through it firsthand in connection with Jesus. And he knew that not only could suffering and hardship come, but he also could see the outcome. He saw the outcome in Jesus. He saw Him raised from the dead and exalted to God's right hand. We talked about that text this morning. And while he had not seen that final exaltation in his own case yet, he was confident it was coming. And so Peter, writing to the shepherds, introduces himself as one who is familiar with hardship and also its final outcome. And he seems to be implying in that they may well face some. In the context of the book of 1 Peter, the apostle was likely thinking about the challenges and the hardship that comes from those who are opposed to Christianity, the persecution. But while that is certainly his main application, no doubt, it seems to me the principle would apply just as readily to hardship that might come from within. There are times in the work of shepherding that it's challenging. It's difficult. And undoubtedly there would be a moment in which there would be a temptation to say, I think I'll just resign. Jesus, in His sermon about the shepherd in John 10, observed that the shepherd, the good shepherd there, would lay down his life for the sheep. Peter seems to be calling on us for steadfastness here, does he not? With one reminder, which is number 10, that the reward comes from the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The chief shepherd suffered the most on behalf of the sheep. He knows all about that. But He also knows the value of the service being rendered. And it is He who will give the crown of glory. The world will not likely honor you in a great way because you are a shepherd of the flock of God. I really do hope that the flock of God will give you proper regard and proper honor for the work that you do. I remind us all of the statement in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, which says, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. This would be unprofitable for you." I appreciate so much men who will take on this responsibility. We don't say enough public thank yous to them for their work. Lots of people were saying thank you last Sunday morning, and that was good to see, and I appreciate that. Let's just don't forget to do that just every once in a while. But they understand that they're not doing the work just for people's appreciation. They're doing it because it needs to be done, and they want to serve the Lord. So there you have it, fellas. 10 things for you to remember. 10 things for all of us to remember as we work together, I pray, to the glory of God. Let's get ready now to sing our song of invitation. Interesting to think about Jesus in this connection, because there's a sense in which He is the great shepherd of our souls, the chief shepherd that Peter was talking about in verse 4. But in another and very real sense, He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our shepherd gave His life for us. He did so as a sacrificial lamb, that His blood might pay the penalty for our sins. Will you serve a shepherd like that? Will you make Him the Lord in your life? Will you become His disciple, that you can have the benefit of what He died to provide for you? Will you confess your faith in Christ? And this day, if you've not yet done so, be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're ready to do that, come on down to the front. Let's stand and sing.